B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
What's up?
I'd like to give my perspective on the current situation.
Sure.
I always disagree with you on something. Last time it was Wentz, you know. this time it's the Super Bowl. Nobody enjoys the Eagles more than me, but this is, it's not Super Bowl versus burn the country down. It's Black Lives versus the burning. Because that's the only way you got everybody's attention. Half the country is on the side of the death, and the other half is on the side of the ballot. They're just talking about it because this situation forces you to have a dialogue.
Yes.
When the last time you gave up sports for something other than sports?
The beginning of the pandemic.
Well, okay. But you don't understand what I'm saying.
No. Yeah, I understand. And I was only using the Super Bowl.
I'm not criticizing. Please, I don't like you too much to criticize.
No. And I just want to get one thing. I was only using the Super Bowl not as a to oppose it, but to remember that there's an organic love of thy neighbor, right? There's an organic love of people that is there inside all of us. I don't know. Maybe I'm being utopian.
That's the word I was going to use. I'm saying, you told me last time that when the substitute quarterback came in, he said he called lightning in a bottle. The Eagles called lightning in a bottle on Super Bowl because they ain't never done it before.
Right.
And I don't know if they're going to do it again. But at that time, it was utopia, and everybody I know who's a Philadelphia fan, they went to sleep with a smile on their face.
Yeah.
But I can't correct it. But let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Remember how you felt about Kaepernick?
Yes.
Okay. Just think about it. You don't have to respond.
Yes. But I wasn't a political. I didn't politicize. My conversation was more the football, but you're right. The political element was brought attention to something that needed to bring attention to.
Okay. Now, see, he did it the right way. You know, and he got not only criticized, he got thrown out the game for doing it the non-violent way.
Yeah.
The same thing happened to John Carlos and his brother, I forget his name, who was on the podium with him when he had his fit. I mean, those guys didn't do nothing. They protested the way everybody would like them to protest.
Right.
He was run out of town. They got a statue of him now, you know, in Santa Clara, the college. What did you do? You didn't give up your program when Trayvon Martin got that chokehold on him.
You're right.
Why? Because there was no violence.
Right.
There was no violence. You had empathy for him and all that, but everything stayed as it was.
Right.
Let me tell you. If Derek hadn't gotten arrested, there would be mayhem out there. And it's not going to stop until those other three guys go down.
Yes.
Okay? And people are wound up. And it's not in, and hey, I go back, I'm 84. I graduated high school with Chamberlain. He was first team All-American, All-State. I was third team All-State. Same state. I don't even talk about that. But
you're 84 years old, Jim?
Yeah. I go back to, I was marching with King, and we did this thing for years and years and years. And the only thing that made a difference was when those white girls got shot marching with them.
Wow.
Okay, and what I give hope to
is because half these people marching are white.
Right.
And it makes people, that combination, that diversity is the thing that's going to make this thing short-lived and going to create reform. You watch this, nothing's going to happen until or reform takes place, and it's only going to take place when the white folks get in on the...
He did it in Germany yesterday at the soccer game. They, the players were celebrating for George Floyd. They brought him up in their goal. The players in Germany. Yeah, you're right.
But the only other comment I'd like to make is, well, two comments. The first
can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
So tell me, in your, from 84 years on this earth and being a part of this thing,
Is it gotten any better? Oh yeah, oh yeah. When I went to Morgan down in Baltimore. I mean, first of all, I grew up in Chester, see, so you know, right down the street from you. And I was on Chester's basketball team when we had more whites than blacks. So that's how far I go back. We went to the movies. The black folks had to sit upstairs. This is in the 50s. White folks, you look at the restaurants. We sat on one side and the black folks sat on the other. The white folks sat on the other side. I mean, it was a separate but equal type of situation. But when I went to school at Morgan, my first year, 1954, I went downtown to do some shopping. I got to the bus stop to come back. I had a $20 bill in my hand. And the guy said, I said, well, I'm not going to give it to the bus driver. I walked into the shop, coffee shop. I walked in there. The guy said, hey, can I have change for this 20 so I can give it to give bus driver? He said, you see that sign outside? I said, yeah, it says coffee shop, a coffee pot. He said, no, white coffee shop, white coffee pot. I said, well, yes, sir, I'll give you 3 seconds to get out of here. I said, mister, I only need two. And that was my indoctrination to the blacks, to the deep south. When we played ball down there, I played against Al Adams and all those guys, Sam Jones. In those days, we couldn't go to hotels. I mean, we created the bed and breakfast. I mean, they looked forward to us coming because now they got paid. I mean, we come down there and we want to go stay at Aunt Susie's house because she had the best fried chicken. You know, I mean, that's where, and it came all the way from that to both my boys married a white girl. So what I'm saying to you is that time has changed. It's changed a lot. And when I was marching with King and them, they were 1% white. We have 50% white now. And that's the difference. The difference is that they have something. See, this thing, what it does, it forces you to take a position.
Right.
I don't care. I mean, you have to take a position.
Right.
You're
either
pro or a guest, but you're taking a position. But you got to think about it a little deeper because now you're talking about whatever position you take, your kids are watching. And that's the position that your kids going to take and the grandkids going to take. And that forces you to have a moral compass. Nobody in the world can go around with a foot on somebody's neck and not feel something.
Yeah.
You can't do it. I don't care what background you have. You got to feel something. But
yes,
then you have to realize, is it worth me dealing with the finance? It's only finance. Money and power are only two things that most people think about.
Yeah.
But in this situation, hey, that guy about a half a dozen calls ago talked about he had a store, and he said, damn the store, man. You know, he wasn't into, I don't care about the finances. I care about you choking my brother. And that meant more to me than anything that has been said thus far today, because that guy has a moral compass. He knows what's right, and he knows what's wrong. He forces you to do the next right thing. And I have one more thing I want to say, and I'll get off the line. I'll tell you how deep this thing is. When those, not the guy who killed Paul, think about the other three guys
that stood there watching.
Two of them on him. One guy standing around with his hand looking around at the front of his body. This guy howling out for his dead mama and saying, I can't breathe. And one guy says, hey, man, I don't feel no pulse. I don't feel any pulse, man. And this other guy with the fiddle in that just looked like he put it down a little harder. Oh. And stayed on the five or six more.
Yeah.
I don't know how long. But the point I'm trying to make is, this thing is.
Yes.
And if anybody can rationalize in their mind and watch those other three guys being accompany this guy killing this guy, and it's like this guy's out there smoking a cigarette, like they were out there watching the ball game or something. I mean, that is the irony of the whole situation. And it's deep, man. It's deeper than you could ever imagine. And well, until they figure out how to deal with that, hey, it's going to be burning, burn, baby, burn.
Mr. Jim,
we're tired of fighting.
Yeah. I want to tell you that I really appreciate you calling today and giving some of your wisdom.
Well, that's how I feel about it. And I only call your show. I've called twice in my life, and both of them on your show.
I feel honored.
Because I like where your heart is.
Thanks, Mr. Jim. I'm honored by that, and we should listen to people like you and adhere to your wisdom. I wish you nothing but the best. God bless you. Be safe, and I wish you good health, man, because we need people like you around.
Well, hey, that's a long journey, but I tell you this, he dealt me a good hand. I mean, I've been black all my life, but I have some beautiful, beautiful white friends. And believe it or not, I didn't work for yourself, but I used to, at one point in my life, I worked for CBS, so I know your area well.
That's beautiful. Yeah, okay. God bless you, my friend. You have a good day. If that's not sobering, Judas, when you hear someone 84 years old who walked with Dr. King, who has a life, who saw through his eyes. I mean, that's someone this is a whole other topic, but we don't listen to our elders enough.
No, you're right.
We don't. They have great perspective.
And, you know, it's promising. Obviously, there's still a lot of, you know, people that don't see eye to eye. But it was promising that they said, you know, when we walked, it was 1% white. And now, I mean, I don't know if 50-50 is the number, but he said now it's 50% white. And that's, you know, that's promising to see that more people are, you know, they're just... People are opening their minds more and in such a good way. And I mean, again, there's still a lot of bad eggs out there that, you know, are against all kinds of stuff. But it's promising to see that.
More ignorant than bad, because do believe that people... I think discourse and listening and hear all the people's plight, because I do believe that most people, white, black, Latin, whatever your background is, man, I keep saying the same thing, but it's the truth. When whatever your background is, I do believe that most of us are born with empathy. You know, environment and circumstances may take you elsewhere, and I guess there's that few cases of pure evil. But other than that, I think most people are, you know, good, and that will have goodness in their heart if you listen. And that's what's disturbing about the video, is that you see what's going on. Somebody's going to step in, right?
Yeah.
That's where you go, whoa, you get carried away. What are you doing? Get off of him. Stop treating him that way. You wanted one of those other three to step in and save George Floyd. Six one zero six three two zero nine seven five. That's how you join us. Tunis, it's a day of Mr. Jim, 84 years old. It was right. It's true. Like we don't stray from sports often.
Right.
I'm a big believer, and I've always said this, that, you know, you don't come here for politics, and you don't come here for most social issues. You come here for sports. Sports station. You turn in what you want, what you expect. But I've also believed, and I believe this with all my heart after doing this for 20 years, I've believed that we are a town square. It's no different than, you know, City Hall, Love Park, or whatever it is. You know, pick any watering hole in town. And this is where we also come to talk about what's going on in our community, our home. That's something that's truly important.
Yeah, and you've heard it from every area of Philadelphia today, right? You know, we've had calls north, southwest, south. You know, we've gone outside to Jersey too, and it's a central hub right now to talk about all this kind of stuff because everyone's seeing it, right? There's no distraction.
That's right. It's a good point. All right. Let's take a quick TO, come back, and continue with our conversation. Lots to discuss on this Monday. Let's talk about for a second some fun and some good stuff. We're going to have football. I know it, right? And we're going to have NFL. And Philly Sports Trips does the NFL. We're talking about the idea of connecting with others. It was like that in Miami. We did the trip last year with Philly Sports Trips, and nothing better than walking into another stadium, and you're connected with your Eagle fan, brethren, hugging, high-fiving, bemoaning, in this case, the loss. Well, guess what? This year we're going to San Francisco, October the 4th, Philly Sports Trips. They do it up everything the right way. First class all the way. Vince, his wife Liz, and my man Bob Cav, who's also in charge of the catering. They do a great job at Philly Sports Trips. And we're going to go to Eagles and Niners. That's right, Birds and Niners on October the 4th. We're going to do a whole weekend, stay downtown. San Fran's a great city. We're overlooking the water. We're going to do a yacht cruise. It's going to be a great time. Check it out. Also, Philly Sports Trips is doing Green Bay this year as well, which is Mecca. We may go on that one as well, Tunis and I. But Philly Sports Trips, you're going to love it. Go to phillysportstrips.com for all the information and to book your trip. And don't forget, if something does happen, all your money will go towards a trip in the future. So don't worry. Go to phillysportstrips.com. We'll see you in San Fran.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's lunchtime across the Delaware Valley, 12:18 to be exact. Cuz Radio with the Tunis. Once more, because a lot of people on Twitter and the text board and all talking about Mr. Jim and what he had to say. And I implore that you listen to people like him all across all walks of life. But we don't listen to our elders enough. We really don't. There are times when, I know it's separate, but they have so much to offer, and it's shameful how we treat our elders. In some cultures, China, we, you know, a lot of the Asian cultures, they revere the elderly. The elders are someone to be listened to. And we should remember that. And a guy like Mr. Jim, I think, illustrates that. You know, Chudas?
Yeah, a man that has gone through everything and walked with Dr. King. Like, literally walked with him. All right? Like, yeah.
But just to, you know, forget the fact that he walked with, you know, Martin Luther King. It's more that he has lived, right?
Right.
It's what he has saw throughout his 84 years on Earth. It heartens me that he said that it's a lot better.
Right.
That we've moved in a much better direction. But there's no substitute for the wisdom of having lived, right?
And 84 seen. Years. And he mentioned, you know, black people have been dealing with this for his entire life. And he said the reason why, you know, a lot of people are talking about it right now is because of, you know, the violence, the rioting, the looting that's going on. He said that's what started the conversation. And, you know, it is sad to see some of the videos of stores being destroyed, because I think of the people who own those stores, right? But as another caller brought up, it's, yeah, you know, economy, it'll come back, right? And but an innocent life will not. And as Mr. Jim brought up, just like, hey, you know, we're now all talking about it. And it's because of this. We have dedicated a show to it, right? We have, I know the morning show talked about it. I know we're talking about it. I know it will continue throughout the day on the station. And that's part of the perspective that he sort of told us, because he's gone through it all. 84 right. years on this earth.
That's right. Let's get back to the phones. Glenn in Roxborough. Glenn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Glenn?
Gentlemen, when I started, I was in Roxborough. Now I'm on Island Avenue.
Oh, thank you for taking us with you.
Because we've known each other a long time.
Yes,
we
have.
Met at Wing Bowl. I think by now you know that I'm a talk show host and a radio personality at the other end of the dial. But I never do that. Or miss them when I come here, because this is my escapism. Sports talk radio. I'm just Manuel when I call you guys. But right now, after hearing Jim and listening to what you guys have espoused our morning, I can say this to you. You hit the nail on the head when you said connection and feeling. Just give me a little liberty right here. Maya Angelou once said, you won't always remember what a person said, but you'll always remember how a person made you feel. Black people in America never hated white people because of the color of your skin. Black people hated white people because of the way you treated us. From the time we've been here, 1619, 2020, from slavery to freedom to Reconstruction to Jim Crow to injustice, civil rights, every single day, it feels like this for us. Think about all the things black Americans have gone through, the trauma, the generational trauma. You guys can't feel that. Anthony, I understood the Super Bowl reference. We were all on the same page. We connected. I played golf. I was hitting a ball the other day, and other golfers were listening and watching. And after we were done, they were like, yo, man, show me how to do that. That was the connection. You and I are both married. We have wives. Every 28 days, our wives go through something that we will never understand. We'll never get it. When they're pregnant, we will never get it. But we empathize. We'll never understand. And we can't really connect, but we empathize. This, Tony, I'm sorry, Anthony.
Yes.
This, guys, you guys can't feel this. You guys can't connect this. This hasn't happened to you. You haven't gone through this. And what we're trying to get you to do is understand all this, what you're seeing. I'm on Island Avenue right now trying to keep people from looting. And all you're seeing is folks who are saying, Dad, look at us. We kneeled. You said that wasn't enough. We marched peacefully. That wasn't enough. The 60s were the most conscious raising decade ever. And black people saw heroes rise up. And then in that decade, black people saw y'all kill every single hero. Beggar Evans, Martin Luther King, Mohandas Gandhi, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy. Every time somebody championed our cause, he got killed. So that didn't work. We saw a man dragged with a pickup truck and changed head decapitated. Texas, that didn't work. What will it take? There's a song by the Whispers. Nobody heard me squawking. Nobody heard me talking. Seems like I got to do wrong for y'all to notice me. So what else do you want us to do is exactly what you're seeing right now. And the folks, and since you know I'm in radio too, I know how our business works. I know it's tough to not stay on sports. The sponsors worry, the salespeople worry, but this was needed from you guys. I want you to know I appreciate it, and I appreciate your company for doing this. Try to understand what this is like every single day of your life as you exist in a country that has never embraced you, has told you to play by the rules, and every time you played by the rules, that wasn't enough. Who has been more patriotic than us? We've gone to every war, and then we come back and can't eat at a counter. You're trying to take stuff away. Nobody has been more humble. Nobody has been more forgiving. After all you've done to us, have we turned the tables on white America? Have we shot you in your bed? Have we poisoned you? No. We've tried to live and let live. That hasn't been enough. So what is it going to take? That's what you're hearing. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're feeling. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying as a black man, 58 going on 59, I completely understand. This is hard, man. I'm a grown man. I've been crying. We watched, Anthony, look what we just saw. During a pandemic, we watched 3 weeks in a row, Ahmaud Arbery get chased by ex-police and killed, and that was covered for us. Then the next week, we watched Breonna Taylor get killed by cops, making a quiet entry, shot, killed. She's an EMT worker. Then the next week, we see George Floyd get killed by police. And all this drama could have been squelched if you at least made 4 arrests instead of all the other arrests you're making now. If you just arrested those 4 cops right away, you wouldn't have this problem. And I'll say this to Philadelphia, because I'm heading downtown after this. If right now, during the protests, if the protesters walk towards police and the police walk towards protesters, and if you guys put down the barricades and the guns and join arms with the protesters, you will change the narrative. You will change the optics. And that will snowball across the country.
Well, we saw we saw that happen in Flint, Michigan. When that
police, doing that.
Yeah, when he did that.
This is what we have to show the world, because the world is watching. We are better than this. Anthony, this can be either our finest hour or our darkest moment. It's up to us, all of us. You guys, me, all of us. Listen to us, man. All we've been saying all these years. Listen, look. We're in a pandemic and folks are using tear gas. That means folks are going to cough. That means respiratory ailments will increase. The pandemic will come back in 2.5 weeks. Watch. We're in trouble. And the leadership at the top is fanning the flames. He's making it worse.
Yeah.
Take care, guys. Be safe.
I feel you. Jay, thank you for calling, man. Appreciate it. I've been going back and forth with Glenn talking sports for a long time. A real long time. Let's go to Frank in Westchester. Frankie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Steve on the cell. Stevie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hi, Steve. Steve, you come to the phone, man.
Can you hear me?
I got you, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I want to tell my story. I'm a 31-year-old black man. Grew up in Clementon. One night, I'm riding with my buddy. We go to the store, and we're just picking up, I think, like, some papers or something. We had a little smoke back at the house. I ain't even gonna lie to you. We're about to go back and, you know, smoke. And we get to opposing stop signs with a cop, and it was kind of like a stare down. And it was like, so I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna go. So I pull out, cop pulls out behind me, pulls me right over. Soon as he comes up to the window, I roll my window, I pull my phone out. This was probably about 3 or 4 years ago. So it was like before, you know, all the catching cops on tape, all, you know, it was just starting to get popular. So I pulled my phone out, put it on audio record, and just sat it on my lap. As soon as I rolled my window down, it was, don't F with me, I'm not the one to F with, blah, blah, blah. Yo, this cop is screaming at me, like, off the, and I'm just like, officer, like, I'm willing to cooperate. Like, you know, can you just tell me why you pulled me over? Don't you F and talk to, blah, blah. You know, he's going off. And my buddy in the back, he's actually a white guy, Timmy. He had, and.
Oh, what, I have to rush you along. Please tell me the end of the story.
Okay. So, long story short, you know, it was me and my girl, Timmy. They ended up taking Timmy away. He had like warrants or something like that. And, the next day I go to the police station and I say I want to file a complaint against an officer. It was me and my girlfriend. She was white. They separate us immediately. So he was like, I want you to.
I thank you for the call. I understand that we go through things and we have had encounters. I think that story was not on the level. I'm just going to put it there. This is not a time for stuff like that. Let's go to Winters. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Winters.
Hello, sir. Hello.
Hi, Winters. How you doing?
I am doing well, Mr. Gargano. How are you?
Good.
Sir, I am a lifelong Philadelphia resident. Lifelong. Grew up in Manayunk and then Roxborough. And I spent most of the last 10 years South Philly. I'm a white man. And I want to talk about duality today. Ideas, like philosophy. Like, because I think duality is the center of everything. And you proved that to me, Mr. Gargano. Personally, as a figure in Philadelphia, as a person who always represents Philadelphia, everyone in Philadelphia, you'll excuse me if I get a little emotional, but that means a lot to me, you know? And here, but when I say duality, I mean, you've been hitting the nail on the head with your program today is talking about community, talking about everyone around us that matters, you know? People you see every day, your family, no matter who they are. The people around you's family, no matter who they are. You know? The people you see with your own eyeballs and hear with your ears every day and know that you're connected to the city.
That's the city that I love. I look, in any city we have, there are issues and we understand it, but I believe in this city, and I do believe in each other, and I just experiencing each other and looking at each other and the willingness and the want to connect with one another. I think that's real. I do, Winters. And listen, you sound like you're a Philadelphian. You grew up here. You understand that, you know, we were city neighborhoods and there was a lot of segregation and history, but
Block is everything, like, you know, and that's the way it's always been. Like, I don't care how you want to judge the people, either. Like, there's some neighborhoods that are safe and some that are dangerous, and that's just who's on the block. I don't care what color you are. There's so many reasons to not be safe. It's not just like you don't understand. I'm a white man. I don't know anything about anyone else's blackness that identifies as a black person. And that's anyone.
Right. In the same way, I don't know about your, I don't know what's your ethnicity.
Yeah, I'm an Irish German Catholic kid from Roxborough. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, like amongst the five schools, is, you know, it's like, I was, where was that? St. Joseph's.
Yeah. I yeah, exactly. And so it's hard. All we can do, and I think a lot of our African American cards, Glenn just said it, and he said, listen, you know,
I want to vote for that man's office right now because he knows what the hell he's talking about. Like, Glenn,
he's a sharp guy. Yeah.
Put your name in the vote tomorrow. I'll vote for you.
Yeah,
I'll vote for you. Why not? Who else am I going to go? Let's not make it political. Like, but I want to bring back to duality. So we're talking about community today. Sports is such a beautiful thing because It unites community and competition. And what does it mean? It means laying down your arms, sitting down with your enemies, and enjoying what you love. That's it. And that's what sports is to civilization. It is, you know, because...
Yeah, what I always like to get at is that feeling when you see... It's the only... In many ways, there's a purity about following sports because you look at the people next to you and you see only the common goal. I mean, it's amazing. And it's so inspiring that you just see, you don't see anything other than another Eagle fan.
Exactly.
Woman, child, race, creed, anything else. And then there's inherent beauty in that.
Yeah, so just for a moment to bring it back to sports, because, you know, this is all a cycle and it all comes back around. The very first game, and don't judge me, because I know what you're going to say when I tell you the story.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
The only game I've been to is at the Meadowlands. My father, my two brothers, we took him as a retirement gift to go to the Meadowlands for a game. And guess which game that was?
It was
in the Super Bowl run.
Wow.
And literally all I did on the way up to the Meadowlands was complain, because guess who got injured the week before?
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
But which game was that? That was Nick Foles stepping in and then continuing that run that R2B started for us.
Yeah.
Nick, no, like, that was an amazing game. And that was the first game I'd been to. It was a win. And can I tell you how beautiful it was to watch Eagles fans going nuts in the Meadowlands and leaving that parking lot? It's just the joy on everyone's face and just the absolute, just like, you're doing everything but getting into a fight. Like, it was just that fine line of empathy where it's like, we won.
I know.
And where it led to that unity you're talking about with the Super Bowl parade. Like, yeah, you know,
without a doubt. I got to run, buddy. Listen, it was great to talk to you, Winters. Thank you. Really appreciate that. You understood as utopian as it could sound, that moment when we all looked at one another. And we have to be careful as well. Those people trying to divide us further. I got to keep saying this because, listen, and Mr. Jim brought this up so eloquently when he talked about, you know, both white and black now protesting. And what was once 1% white is now almost half white in the protest. And there's that togetherness, that unity that, you know, comes about. And although none of us who are not of African American background can walk in their shoes, we can again have empathy, which is a strong thing. It's not sympathy, it's empathy. But we got to remember that we can be still a unified under God, which is, I know, again, utopian, but unified under God, looking at one another as God's children. And there are those, and again, this is a very real deal, other countries that want to see the United States divided. Divide and conquer. It's the art of war. And there'll be groups, and there'll be social media postings, and people will try to be manipulated. They will try to manipulate you to think a certain way and to divide us. And we have to be careful of that. Let's go to Ty in Delaware. Ty, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Ty.
I'm gonna be manipulative. I'm gonna kind of piggyback on what Jim said. I grew up at 17th and Dime. I went in the military and I saw racism there. I teach now and I'm doing everything I can to save all my kids, black, white, Hispanic. But I'm going to try to be manipulative. I'm going to try to shame folk. I looked at statistics because I sat and cried. I raged, and I balled my fists, and I raged, and I wanted to hit something, and North Philly came out, and but there was nothing to hit. And I started thinking, how? What can we do? Nothing, like he said, has done. The previous gentleman laid out a host of things that happened that made no difference. I'm going to come at it from a different direction. I looked at statistics. And would you believe that last year, well, let's just start with this year. There have been 31 black people killed by police, but there were 228 white people killed by police. In the last, since 2017, there have been over 1,200 white people killed by police. 700 Hispanic, 700 black, and 480 Hispanic. Why aren't white people screaming and raging? There was a white kid who was shot in the back because he didn't respond to a policeman's orders. He had on earbuds with his hood up and his hands in his pocket. There are instances of this going across all colors. But white people, why don't we see their names? Why aren't they standing out there beside the black people? Why? It's the police aren't just preying on black. They're preying on poor and black. Black just happens to be the prey of choice. But what? Why? We need, if the course is unity, then all white people have to do is look around and say, it's not just black people. It's us too. I mean, it's there's the linchpin right there that should bring us together. I'm not sure why it's not. We seem to divide between Republican and Democrat, and white people are Republican and black people are Democrat when they have more in common than they have in difference.
Yeah, the political divide is a whole other conversation that we just can't get in.
We can't, but we need folks to stand out there and to make it known, because
let me ask you a question.
Nothing happens without white people's blessing.
I hear you, man. I get you. That's why I'm listening. I mean, I can only hear, right? I can only listen and hear. And that's the purpose of today's show, right? Today's show is discourse.
Tell folks to get out there and to not make this, because even the young people rioting aren't just rioting about Floyd. They're rioting about jobs. They're rioting about college tuition and the fact they can't get a job.
And we are in the midst of a pandemic, and we are under severe economic strife, and it's a powder.
Our leadership is on the clock. They have many things that they have to address. And as a society, we have to keep the pressure on. When the people are afraid of the government, it's called tyranny. When the government is afraid of the people, it's called democracy.
Well said. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Let's take a quick timeout. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We'll be back just a moment. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Spit pimpin', baby. Spit pimpin'. 12:50 on this Monday. The weather looks too beautiful outside, Andrew. For all the unrest, you know.
Yes. I mean, I can't see outside.
No, I'm saying it's like a direct clash.
I gotcha.
Between the pandemic and all the all of the things that go with that, and then the social unrest, and, you know, the day does not match it.
Yeah, I mean,
the day is like a gift from God, right? Like, here. And yet, it's just, you know, anarchy.
We slept with the windows open last night because it was beautiful at night, right? And I woke up to the sounds of birds chirping, and I was like, oh, what a nice day. And then, you know, I look at my phone, and it's just alerts. And it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, it was like 2 seconds apiece, the birds chirping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't match with what's going on right now.
No. No. Listen, I mean, and this is, you know, a conversation that needs to have discourse that needs to happen. And we do need, though, to make sure that we protect against being divided further from within. That's a big issue. It's a huge issue. You know, and I know it sounded trite. You know, some people have taken a little umbrage with my sports utopian example of how we can really, you know, how we have the capability of seeing only our brethren. Right? Like, yeah, we all have the capability of seeing, and I used the Eagles parade as an example. I used the Eagles winning it. I don't know how or why, I guess because everything in my life somehow goes back to sports in some way. But when I looked at the west side of Chestnut Street and the vandalism that took place and all the people, and I thought back to the west side of Chestnut Street, and that's where I was. I was on 20th and Chestnut, going up and down Chestnut Street. And I thought about that. Didn't like the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And we're all there. And Judas, it was, you know, it was like this incredible love fest, you know?
Right. Yeah, you're hugging everybody.
It was amazing. Like, people, you know, traffic was snarled and nobody cared. And, you know, people are getting out of cars and hugging each other and, you know, taking gulps of beer and tequila and everything else. And, hey. Yeah. It was like this amazing, amazing scene. A truly amazing scene. We were, you know, It's funny, it's pre-pandemic, right? And everybody's sweating and hugging and passing around a bottle.
Right. Can't do it. Those are all against the rules right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was such a joyous time, at least here, for us. And, you know, we that night and then the next couple days when the parade happened and we looked at one another as brothers and sisters. No matter who you were, no matter what your creed was, no matter, you know, how much money you had, didn't matter.
Right.
None of it mattered. What you did for a living, none of that stuff mattered. We all saw Eagle fans. Let's go to, we got Frank in Westchester back. Frankie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
God bless you, Mr. Jim. What a man. What a man. Wow. Hey, anybody that mentions Wilt and MLK in the same conversation?
Amazing, right?
I could talk to that guy for an hour.
I know. That's terrific.
So, before I get on my pulpit, may I just be a little lighthearted?
Of course.
To start?
Yeah.
Regarding the salutations. So, you know, what bizarre, hi, friend. Like, what bizarro world did I grow up in where friend over Cougine? Man, who, what caller picked friend? Mr. Rogers? And also,
Jim Nance.
What's that?
Jim Nance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Andrew, don't you know me, homie? What? I don't even know what the hell that means. But anyway, so I was compelled to call Tyrone Friday. What a dynamic show he did. God. Very poignant. You know, a few hundred years ago, you know, wasn't there a war within our borders to abolish slavery? And you know, there's still prejudice, hatred currently. That's how we've evolved. That's how we've evolved. You know, I thought of the flag, Anthony. Mm-hmm. On one piece of fabric, there's 50 stars sewn in to represent unity. Well, where the bleep is our unity?
Here's the thing. This is what I take from Jim and Mr. Jim's call is that, you know, we have that this country has made positive steps, but it's not enough, obviously, by the current landscape and the current environs, but it's made some positive steps. That's the only way you can look at it from our perspective, not from the African-American perspective.
Exactly. And I found
You're Italian and I'm Italian. I don't know what else.
Right. I found some solace, a bit from what that fine gentleman said. But what they did, it was egregious. And it was the four of them. My son-in-law was a cop, a detective, now thankfully with the Attorney General's office. He was stunned. He was close to tears. He couldn't watch the rest of it.
I mean, I've talked to cops. They can't believe what happened.
No.
They can't believe it. That does not. And it's horrible because they feel like it defines all police, and they're like, it's not us.
No.
Does it define all of us?
That poor man laying on my wall. You know, here we go. If I may. If I can eradicate some words from Webster's Dictionary, how about hate and bigotry to get started? You know, it's 2020, for God's sake.
I hear you, buddy. You take care of yourself, all right? Thank you, Frank. We appreciate the phone call. It is a sobering day. It's a sobering weekend. But for a lot of people, and this is what you've heard today, that you know, this is an everyday thing that you have to walk out of your house and you feel like you are not welcome or hunted, hunted. And no one should feel that way. That's an awful thing. Let's go to, we got Prince. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Prince.
Hey, how you doing, man?
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing. So, just encouraged a call actually from a young guy who called the show, the earlier show at 8:44. If you go back on the tape, just listen to this guy. He's a young guy. He's not my age. I'm in my 50s. I could tell he was young and I could tell he was other than black. But this guy had such a poignant look at what black people are going through. I tell you, he verbalized it better than a lot of black people can. So if you can, go back in the tape. Just a couple quick things, and then I'll get off the line. Because you made the comparison, or you really wanted us to feel how we felt during the Super Bowl time, that empathy and all the love and so on and so forth. I'm going to keep it to sports, okay?
You know, I just was saying it's inside of all of us. I just think it's innate. I was using that just as an example that I truly believe that for most of us, we all want to connect with one another.
Yeah, I get that. And so for a minute there, I got to tell you, when I first tuned in, I didn't get it. And so although I've been listening now for the last hour, I know where you're coming from. So I do want to just kind of keep it to sports and maybe help bring the picture around, because we've had so many people on the line giving stories and testimony. Yeah. So I'll just keep it to sports. One thing I do want to say is I hear a lot of people saying that because I'm not black, I would never understand. What I can tell you is that you do know you don't want to be it. And I mean that by saying you're not necessarily through ethnicity or skin color. You know how black people are treated. You know you don't want to be that. That's what I can tell you when you say that I can't stand in a black man's shoes. Another thing I want to just say for you and for the audience, that when you say the police department says that this is not us, let's just bring back Eric Gardner. He was choked to death. He said he couldn't breathe 11 times. Keep it moving. We have things like the brother just said on the line before me, the Civil War. Didn't we just fight a war over slavery? No, they did not. The war was fought to bring wealth to the North from the South. Had nothing to do with slavery. Lincoln said he could care whether they stayed or not. Another thing, people are saying, why aren't white people fighting? They are out there fighting. As a matter of fact, I believe that the majority, because this country is the majority Caucasian, are out there. They're fighting. I march a lot, and I know who's at my side. Most of the times, I'll come back to where I live and say, hey, man, where were you? Because I know who I was standing side aside did not look like me. So they can drop that. When it's talking about unity and love, it transcends all color. So I just want to say, how did Antifa get labeled a terrorist and KKK has not? Last thing for me, when it comes to sports, a large portion of your listeners, unfortunately, don't want anything to do with Philadelphia. They like Philadelphia for the sport, the economy, and the unions. The economy, because that's how they make their money, and the little townships that they live outside of Philly couldn't support them. The unions and their bigotry ways are all, we don't even need to go.
Well, I'm
going to
stop you here. First of all, listen, on the show, like, here's the thing. We talk about Philadelphia, because I started
I'm
this.
I'm going to hang up, because I don't want you to stop me. I'm going to hang up and continue to listen.
All right, baby. I thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. Very much. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Take it easy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.